Or Chaim, Chelek Sheni, Hilchos Birchas HaPeiros, Halacha Aleph, and we're in the second real paragraph of this halacha. Before we begin, we dedicate the shiur today for a complete refuah shalema for all those that need it. Rav Nosson Zal started speaking about the souls that are found in food that require a tikkun, that require an elevation, and by a Jew eating these foods properly, making the proper bracha on it before and after, this is how we're involved in elevating these souls. And now Rav Nosson Zal continues. V'alkein mevorech al hechoviv tchila. And based on this introduction, we could understand why, if a person has a few different fruits in front of them, and they all require the same bracha, which one should he choose to make the bracha on? The one that he likes the most. Ki kol dovor moishech atzmoy l'sharoshoy. Because everything in this world draws itself to its roots. L'mokoyim shechiyusoy tolushon. To the place it draws its existence and its life force from there. V'alkein, and therefore, me'achar shechoviv u'mesaveloy oisei hadovor. Because of the fact that the person likes a particular fruit and he desires that, bevadai yeshom nefoshois hashayochim loy oz, lechelkei nefesh ruach neshama shaloi. That's a definite indication that there are souls found in that food that are relevant, that are related to the person's nefesh ruach neshama. V'alkein mevorech olav tchila. And therefore the person makes the bracha on that food item first. Ki ikar shleimus hanefoshois valiosan hualidei habracha. Because one of the most important things that helps complete a soul and elevate it is a bracha that's made on that food item in which that soul is found. Aval, however, shiva minim shenishtapcho behem Eretz Yisrael, the seven special species which the Torah selects to praise Eretz Yisrael about, these seven, wheat, barley, grapes, pomegranates, dates, figs, etc., olives, sheshom shoyresh kol hanefoshos digdusha. In those in Eretz Yisrael, and especially in those seven items, are rooted all of the Jewish souls. Ki Eretz Yisrael hi bechinas emuna. Because we know that Eretz Yisrael is the place of Emuna, the center of Emuna. There's a pasuk, Shchon Eretz, Ure'ei Emuna. Live in the land and be nurtured, be nourished with Emuna. Shehi Shoyresh Hanefoshois. Emuna is the root of all souls. We know that Emuna is associated with Malchus, the sphere of Malchus, and we're told that all souls are rooted in and connected to the Malchus. V'alkein mishom yetzei lechem. And therefore, it's from there, from Eretz Yisrael, that comes forth bread and food. Ki kol hashpois achilo digdusha yetzei mishom. Because the entire flow of holy food and eating comes from Eretz Yisrael. Kama shekosov Rabbeinu b'maymar v'achaltem ochel v'sovoya. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 47 in Likutei Moran. Ki kol hama'acholim heim b'chinas nefoshes kanal. Because all foods are associated with these souls that are found in them. V'alkein yesh lohem mailo u'kedimo lebrocha. And this is why the foods that are specifically associated with Eretz Yisrael, where the Torah makes a special connection between these foods and Eretz Yisrael, that when the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael, it mentions specifically these foods, that makes them superior, and that gives them a priority, a preference, that we should make the bracha on one of those foods, one of those fruits, rather than a fruit that's not mentioned related to Eretz Yisrael. And this will also explain why our rabbis instituted a unique bracha for fruit. Dehainu, boire priho adoma, oi boire priho eitz. Those two brachas that are made on fruits and vegetables. And the rabbis did not include them in the category of other things like meat, fish, drinks, that are included in the bracha shehakol niya bedvaroi. Ki bapeirois yesh nefoshois yekorois ma'oi. Because it's specifically in fruits that there are found very precious souls that are reincarnated in these fruits. Ukemoi shehevanti misichas rabbeinu neira yoyer. Rav Nosson Zal says, as I understood from discussions with Rabbeinu Zal, that he mentioned this. V'alkein nikroim pri, and this will also explain why fruit are called pri, a peri, ki chashivus hanefesh uma'aloso tolui bahadas. Because the importance of a soul, what makes it so important, is the connection to das. There's a pasuk, gam b'loi das, nefesh loy toiv. Without das, a soul, a nefesh, is lacking in good. Das is toiv, and that's the one of the most significant things about a nefesh. Ki ikar gidul hanefesh v'yinikoso humei hadas. Because the source from which a Jewish soul draws spiritual energy and what helps the soul to advance is das. We know Rabbeinu Zal quotes the statement from the Kuzari, ilu yedativ heisiv. If you would understand Hashem, you would be Hashem. And it's mentioned in the context that the more a person knows, the more the person is making a stronger connection to Hashem. Kama shekosav Rabbeinu, v'chol ma shehanefesh smucha yoyser al hadas, hi chashuva yoyser. And the more that a soul is closer to das, the more important, the more significant that soul is. V'alkein hem nekroim pri, and this is why fruit is called pri, ki hadas nekro pri, because we find psukim in the Torah where it refers to das by this term pri. Al shem shehu oise peiros, because of the fact that das generates fruit, it bears fruit. Kama shekosov Rabbeinu, as Rabbeinu Zal writes, Lohoyrois, to teach us, shehim smuchim eladas, that these food items, specifically fruit, have a special closeness to das. V'alkein miyachdim lohem bracha, and this is why there's a special bracha designated for them. They're not included under that umbrella of shehakol niya bedvaroi. Machmasach hashivus hazois, because of this importance. Umazkirin bahabrocha shem pri. And in the bracha that we make on these fruit, we make reference to this term pri, dahainu pri ho adoma, oy ho eitz. V'chein, that's number one. Number two, v'chein pri ho eitz, chashuvin mi pri ho adoma. And an additional important point is that fruit that grows on a tree is more important than fruit that grows from the ground. V'yichadu lohem bracha, and our rabbis specified a unique bracha for fruit that grows from a tree. Kishom melubashim nefoshos yekorois b'yoyser. Because once again, in the fruit that grows on a tree, that has higher level souls reincarnated in it. B'bechinas, as the pasuk says, ki ho'odom eitz hasode. Man is compared to a tree. V'alkein, imberach al peiros so'etz boira priyadomo yotzo. And this is why the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if on a fruit that grows from a tree, for example, on dates, which is supposed to make a bracha boira priyadomo, if a person made a mistake and he made a bracha boira priyadomo on a date, yotzo, it's acceptable. B'di'evet, it's okay. He doesn't have to repeat the bracha or anything. Ki oisoi hamalo sheyesh leperoi suadomo, yesh lohem gamkein. Because any pluses that vegetables or things that grow from the ground have, things that grow on a tree definitely have that also. Rak shehem chashuvim yoiser. It's just that the fruit that grows on the tree is even more on a higher level than the things that grow from the ground. Avo lehefech, whereas if a person made a boire prihoetz on something that grows from the ground, a pumpkin or a melon or a vegetable, lo yotza, the bracha is not valid. They would have to go ahead and say boire pri adoma on it. Ki bircha soetz ein shayach klal le priho adoma. Because the bracha boire prihoetz does not apply to things growing from the ground, ki ein lahem oisoi maila kanal, because the things growing from the ground do not have that specialness, that significance that the things growing on a tree do. V'al kulam, however, on all foods, im omar shehakol, if a person mistakenly made the bracha shehakol niya bedvaroi, yotza, it's acceptable. They don't have to make an additional bracha. Ki shehakol koileil kulam, because the bracha shehakol niya bedvaroi includes in it everything. Bibchinas shehakoil, shehakoil, everything was created through the word of Hashem. Kime hadibur yoitzin hanefoshois, because the souls come forth, are created through Hashem's speech. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says, nafshi yotzo bedabroi, my soul goes forth from his speech, from dibur. V'zeh shekosu b'shulchan aruch kamo dinim sheyesh kamo dvorim she'ein mevorchan aleihem rak boirei pri adoma afal pi shegdeilim al ho'eitz ayin shom. Based on what we're learning here, we'll understand also a very interesting thing that the Shulchan Aruch mentions, that there are certain things that grow on a tree, and despite that, we will not make boirei pri ho'eitz on it, we'll make a boirei pri adoma. For example, fruit that grows on a tree that's not yet ripe, it's not yet fully ripe, which means it hasn't gotten to its full development, or certain parts of a fruit that are not really the main parts of the fruit, but rather they're considered to be side items. And again, the Shulchan Aruch over there, I believe in Siman Resh Beis, Resh Gimel, speaks about this. If the food is totally unripe, where it's unhealthy, chas v'shon, you're not allowed to eat it. It's dangerous to eat it. But again, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about different categories of things that are edible, but it's not the actual fruit. Ki be'emes mashetiknu brocha miyuchedes al pri ho'eitz hu rak machmas chashivusam kanal. Because the truth is, this that the rabbis instituted, a special, unique brocha for fruit that grows on a tree, boyer pri ho'eitz, is because of its importance, because that fruit is very choshuv. Ki be'emes loy tiknu brocha protis al kol dover v'dover, rak machmas chashivus anal yichud lehem brocha. Because we find our rabbis did not institute a special brocha for fish or poultry. There it's included in the shehakol. It's only certain things that have a unique chashivus, a unique specialness. V'alkein, and therefore, kishe'enom ikar hapri, when the thing that you're eating that grows on a tree, but it's not the actual fruit, it's not the real fruit, ein lohem oisoi hamaila, then they don't have that significance. Alkein ein mevorchan aleim rak boyer pri adoma. Therefore, the bracha drops a level. It drops from ho'eitz to ha'adoma. That's one level lower. V'chein kama dvorim shadayin lo nigmar bishul ha'peiros, ein mevorchan aleim gamkein rak boyer pri adoma. And in addition, certain things, for example, if the fruit hasn't ripened completely, it's edible, but it's not fully ripe, there again, the Shulchan Aruch says, according to some opinions, that you make a boirei pri ha'adoma. Ki kishloi nigmar bishulam, adayin loy nishlam hanefesh sheyesham. Because the fact that the fruit is not yet fully ripened, it implies that the soul that's inside there is not yet at a certain stage of readiness, completion. Kama shekosav Rabbeinu Bazeh, as Rabbeinu Zal writes about this, V'alkein ein lohem chashivus, and therefore it doesn't have enough importance, significance, to qualify for that bracha boirei pri ho'eitz. We're going to see later on in Halacha Hey of this section, Birchas HaPeiros Halacha Hey, there Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into an incredible explanation and discussion on this topic of eating fruit and fruit that's not yet fully ripened, based on chapter 88 in the second half of Likutei Moharan, chapters 87 and 88 that are connected, and there we're going to have incredible insights on this topic. V'alkein, and this will also explain why ein mevorchin al hatofel klal rak al hoikur. When a person is eating two foods And one of them is the food that they really want to eat. But usually they don't eat that food by itself. They eat it together with something else. But the something else is only being eaten to serve the main food. There, the halacha says that you don't make any bracha at all on that less important food. For example, let's say a person wants to eat chopped liver. They enjoy chopped liver, the covered Shabbos, they enjoy it very much. But you don't eat chopped liver by itself. So they take a cracker, a small cracker to eat with it, to put it on the cracker to eat it, because they don't want to eat the chopped liver with their hands, or they don't want to eat it from a spoon. They put it on a cracker and eat it with a cracker, but the cracker they're not really interested in. They're interested in the chopped liver. There, the halacha says that a person doesn't make a bracha on the cracker at all because it's tofel, it's less significant. Ki hakol choylech achar kavona sa'odom v'daitoi. Because when it comes to this tikkun of these souls, by eating food, it's all dependent on what a person is thinking and what the person's intentions are. U'me'achar sheze ikar etzloi. And because of the fact that this person that's eating now, to them, the chopped liver is what they want to eat. Bevadai hu shleimus nafshoi. That food item definitely is playing an important role in the shleimus of that person's soul, the one that's eating it. Not just the souls that are found in the food, but also the soul of the one that's eating. V'alkein mevorech olav upoiteres hatofel. And therefore he makes the bracha on the ikar, the main food, the one that he really wants, and that bracha covers the thing that's less significant. Afilu imhu lechem. Even if the tofel were bread, let's say again, a person is eating, he wants to eat chopped liver, but he doesn't eat it by itself, so he takes a small piece of bread or matzah to put it on. But again, the matzah or the bread, he's not really interested. He's just using it as something to hold the chopped liver on. He would make a shahakol on the chopped liver, and the shahakol covers the bread or the matzah. I know that Sfardim, during the year, generally make mezoinos on matzah. It's only on Pesach that they make hamoitzi on matzah. Many Sfardim. Just a side note. Ki af shehalechem choshuv ma'oid v'chol mokoyim. Because even though bread is extremely important in all areas, v'hu b'chinas das kanal, and bread is one of the most important foods that represents das. The word lechem is bigematria 3 times yud kei vav kei, corresponding to the 3 parts of the brain, and bread is called brain food. And according to one opinion, the eitz hadas was chita, it was wheat. Afal pikein, still, me'achar, despite that, me'achar she'ato einoi chofetz balechem klal, because of the fact that right now, when this person is eating that chopped liver, he's not really interested in the bread. He doesn't want to eat bread right now. Rak lechol oisoy hoikar beinov. But rather, he only wants to eat the chopped liver. V'halechem eino yoichel kiyim letofel. He's just eating the bread as something to hold the chopped liver. That kind of thing. And because it doesn't look nice, it's not right to eat chopped liver by itself. It's not. Bevadai b'sho zu tzorech l'shleimus nafshoi oisoy hoikar daiko. That shows that at this particular time, the person who's eating this requires that chopped liver to complete his soul. Based on the exact portions of nefesh, ruach, neshama that the person has at that particular moment. V'alkein mevorech olav. And therefore he makes the bracha on the chopped liver. Upoiter es hatofel. And it automatically, the shahakol on the chopped liver covers the bread or the cracker or whatever it is. Umachma she'ikr shleimus hanefoshois va'aliyoson alidei hadas. And because of the fact that, like we mentioned earlier, one of the most important criteria here, one of the most important factors in a soul achieving its shleimus, its completion, its perfection, and its elevation, is das, Al kein hoilchen achar das ha'odom. Therefore, we follow the das, the intention of the person who's eating it. Dahainu, im hoiso daitoi al ha'peirois, if the person had in mind fruit, let's say, that's not on the table. He's eating a fruit, and he has in mind that he might want to eat additional fruit or something like that. Af shelo hoya lefanav, even though that additional fruit was not on the table at all at the time he made the Bayah Priyates, ain't sorech levarech aleihem. When the fruit comes, he doesn't have to make an additional bracha on it. V'chein lehefech. And the opposite is also true. If the person sat down to eat an apple, and they only intended to eat an apple, nothing else, and they finish the apple, and the person says, you know, I'm still hungry, I still feel, I want something, I need something. Maybe I'll take an orange. Then he'll be required to make a new bracha on that fruit. Ki ikar aliyosam v'tikunam tolui bedas ha'odam. Because the main elevation and rectification of these foods and the souls inside of them is dependent on the person's das, what the person is thinking, their intention. Now keep in mind, I want to make this very clear, that I'm not a poisek, and we're not, this shir is not a shir in halacha lemaisa, it's a shir in likutei halachos. In regarding these laws that we're mentioning now, there are a lot of factors. It's not clear-cut and simple. There are a lot of details to these laws, and a person needs to learn Shulchan Aruch, especially with the recent commentaries, the Mishneh Brura and other Achroinim that we have, Baruch Hashem, that give us, that include many different factors that will determine whether you have to make the additional bracha or not, or many factors related to this. Now, Rav Nosson Zalei has one more closing remark in this halacha. V'alkein tzorech linhoig kovoid bo'ichlim. And this is why the Torah makes a very important point that a person has to treat food with respect. Respect for food. Not to throw food, not to treat it as something unimportant. Ki b'mokoyim shemelubashim nefashois tzorech linhoig bohem kovoid. Because wherever there are souls that are cloaked in something, that are found in something, a person must show respect. So that those souls should want to go out of that item and be elevated. Because the source of all souls is kovoid. As Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 37 in Likutim Ram and in other places, Hamuva behilchus beis haknesis, which Rav Nosson Zal spoke about earlier in Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, Ayin Shom. We know the Gemara tells us that all Jewish souls are rooted in the Kisei HaKovoid, in the throne of Hashem, which is called Kisei HaKovoid. And Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in many places, this connection between Nefesh and Kovoid. And this is one of the reasons why we must show respect for every Jew, for every living thing. But especially food, which we're learning now in these halachas, especially food and especially fruit and things like that, that have nefashos in it, a person must apply this issue of kavod to treat it with respect. Any questions, please?
Good morning, Rav Nosson.
Good morning.
Clarify the dynamic between chaviv and that pushing a preference, because it's hinting to a deeper relationship between those souls and the person. And also the, call it the animalistic desires of the body. How does that interplay work? It could be he's just a glutton and there's nothing chaviv there at all, but yet, how do we put that together?
Very important point. There's a term that's used about klipois and sitrachra, the word moisrois. Moisrois means excesses. The concept of excess, more than is necessary. That's the term glutton, that's the term sitrachra. The fact that a person likes A more than they like B, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not bad. That, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us and the Sifrei Hasidus, that's an indication of a shaychus, an association between that person's soul and that item. For example, the case of a zivug, a shidduch. The fact that a person is attracted to a certain person, and they're not attracted to a different person, Number one, that could be coming from the side of Kedusha. If it's coming from the side of holiness, then it's an indication that there's a soul connection between those two people. Now keep in mind that the Sitra Achra, the Satan, is also working. And the Satan can sometimes try to trick a person and fool a person into thinking they like something, they're attracted to something, but it's coming from the Sitra Achra, it's coming from a negative place, a bad place. So this requires Das, again. This requires intellect, a person thinking carefully, where is this coming from? Is this coming from the good side or the bad side? I gave an example, I mentioned it a while ago, it doesn't hurt to repeat it. My Rebbe, Reb Michal Dorfman, Zichron Avrocha, who went through many very difficult things in his life. Very, very difficult. His father was buried alive by the Nazis, Yamach Shimon. His mother died from rheumatism. He grew up in a house where they couldn't afford heat, and they had a dirt floor. The house had a dirt floor. This is in Russia, in Polish Russia, where the winters are very serious. And he remembered that the walls of the house during the winter were always dripping. The place that they lived in wasn't dry during the wet season, which is what caused the rheumatism in his mother. And she was always suffering from her bones, hurt her terribly. And then got married, very poor, and struggled. Spent 6 years and 7 months in Siberia, and extreme poverty, living in Russia under communist rule. Very few religious people that he had contact with while he was there. And then when he finally came out of Russia and came to Eretz Yisrael, he had three daughters. First, they had to leave Russia without their children. That was also a terrible thing, leave the kids behind. They weren't small kids. They were adult, but still, finally, his children came out, his three daughters, and the oldest daughter, who was a doctor by profession, and married him, got sick and passed away during his lifetime. And then Reb Michal Zal's wife got ill and passed away during his lifetime. So he had a lot of struggles and a lot of difficulty. And he used to like certain things a little bit. Coming from Ukraine, he liked sometimes a spicy thing like herring, that kind of thing. He would have that sometimes with his breakfast, with some vegetables. And one time he mentioned to me that something has come up recently, and he's giving it serious thought, but he's not sure if it's coming from the Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer Hara. What is it? He has a thought of taking a little bit of a drink of vodka together with his breakfast as something to give him a little chius. But again, he's not sure if it's coming from a good place or a bad place. And he mentioned to me, a few days later, he said he's still thinking about it, and he decided that he's going to ask a doctor. He wants to hear a doctor's opinion, not that that's the final word or anything, but he wants to include that in his process of trying to decide whether this is the right thing or the wrong thing. And he told me shortly afterwards that he consulted with a doctor, and the doctor told him that for him, this was when he was in his 80s. He might have been 85 at the time, 86. The doctor said for him, it's a very good thing for his health, for his blood, obviously a limited amount. But the doctor said, nothing wrong with it, it's only good for you. And he told me at the time to go buy a bottle of Absolut vodka, which is a very clean, clear vodka. And he said to me, this will probably last him 3-4 months, because again, he has a whiskey glass in the house, he's intending to use a small amount. And sure enough, for the next years that I knew him, this is what he did. And usually every 3-4 months, he would tell me that it's getting close to the end. Please, when you have a chance, buy me another bottle. And it was so important to watch this process of a person on this level, on this caliber, thinking carefully, this particular type of food, is it good or is it, we know Rabbi Nizal spoke against alcoholic beverages, that it's very dangerous and very harmful to a person. And he wanted to know, this quantity at this time for this reason, and still being cautious, is it coming? Is it possibly the Yetzer Hara who's trying to give me something bad and dress it up in a mitzvah? That's the level of thought and religious thought that went into deciding whether to eat something or not.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Sure. Anyone else, please?
Good morning, Rabbi. Just a quick halachic question. When you bless Shah Kolon on anything, you're Yotze, right? If you made a mistake, so is it a bediavad or even a chatre? For example, I don't know what the bracha is. I don't have a way to find out. Can I use that bracha to exempt me?
The answer is it's definitely bediavad. It's not a first choice at all. The Shulchan Aruch says, you don't know what bracha? Find out. You can't find out? Unless you have nothing else to eat. If chas v'shalom a person was in a situation where there was nothing else to eat, or there was a certain very, very important reason why they must eat that item for their health or something like that, then you could possibly make the shahakol. But again, normally it's definitely bidyevet.
Perfect. Now, thank you.
Yeah, I saw somebody raise the question in the example that we gave of the liver and the bread, would a person say Birkas HaMazon on the bread if they ate a quantity that qualifies for Birkas HaMazon? My initial answer is, I would say no, because again, you don't even make a bracha rishon on it, so for sure you wouldn't make a bracha. However, again, one would need to look carefully in the Shulchan Aruch or consult a rabbi, a poisek, because once a person is eating enough of an amount of bread to qualify for Birchas HaMazon, could be that shows that it's no longer tofel to them. Sometimes the quantity can have bearing on this also. I said again, these laws of brachas, there's a lot of details in them. And it's very important for a person to study all the details to be able to have an accurate picture. The question was asked about vinegar. There are certain foods that the Shulchan Aruch points out that are unhealthy to eat by itself, or that the majority of people, normal people, would not eat that or drink it by itself, and therefore you don't make a bracha on it if you do eat it or drink it. For example, olive oil, the Shulchan Aruch mentions. Person drinking olive oil would not make a bracha on it, because normally people don't drink olive oil by itself. They would put it on a salad or something else in other foods. But once again, this is not a halacha l'maisa shir. Hashem should give us the schus of learning halacha, learning a lot of halacha. Rabbi Nachman stressed to his students, one of the top things that he wanted us to do was to learn halacha on a daily basis, and to learn practical halacha that helps us know what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed, what we should do, etc. Yes.
I met somebody in Shabbos and he said something very beautiful. He said, you know, throwing out the food, it makes a kidruk for the person, for his parnasa. And the reason is because his neshamas are very upset that they get wasted.
Wow.
Of course, very nice that we're learning right now that every little particle of food has certain neshama and we need to respect it. Shukrach.
I'm very happy that you mentioned that, because I suffer from this terribly. We're living in a day, where everything is throwaway. Paper table, plastic tablecloths, paper dishes and everything. And it became a norm that people don't want to bother. Number one, people don't want to eat leftovers. And people don't want to bother collecting it, putting it together, because again, nobody wants it. Nobody wants it, nobody's going to eat it. And there's an incredible quantity of food, and very often quality food, that gets thrown out because of this type of attitude. It's a sad thing. Very often people that grew up in homes where their parents were Holocaust survivors, or parents experienced poverty, difficulty, they can't do that. They can't throw out food, because they know what it is not to have food, chas v'shalom, sometimes when a person needs it. Rav Nosson Zal is telling us here, tzorech linhoi kovoid bo'ichlim. Now, this doesn't mean if a food is past the date, let's say, that you're allowed to use it, if it could be harmful to the person, then of course a person shouldn't take a chance and eat it. But if a food is normal, positive quality, to throw it out just because we're too lazy to put it together, or because we're so fine that we don't eat yesterday's food or that kind of thing, it would seem that it's not necessarily the right thing to do. Halacha Beis, Inyan Birkas Hananin, the laws of brachas that we make when we're benefiting from something, V'din Kedima Mishiva Minim Shenishtabcha Me'eretz Yisrael, and the law regarding giving priority and preference to those seven types of food that the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael about, that they are koidmen lakoil, that they go before anything else. V'chol ha-koidem b'pasuk, koidem lebracha. And not only that, but in that pasuk where it lists chita, se'ora, gefen, te'ena, rimoin, shemen, vash, whatever is mentioned earlier in the pasuk also gets priority over something that's mentioned later in the pasuk. With the exception, the Gemara points out that the word Eretz is mentioned twice in that pasuk. It's mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk and somewhere in the middle of the pasuk. So that if something, the food item that follows the second Eretz, that's right after the second Eretz, goes before number three, which is two slots away from the first Eretz. This is something we don't have to get into that much detail, but again, to know that Rav Nosson Zal is making a general statement regarding the halacha there. And now he begins. Ki anachnu am kodosh b'nei Yisrael tzrichin sheyeh kol mezoinoseinu mishefa shel Eretz Yisrael. We, the holy Jewish nation, have to see to it that all of our food is coming from and is connected to the Shefa of Eretz Yisrael. Ki rak Eretz Yisrael shayach lonu b'nei Yisrael. Because it's only Eretz Yisrael that really is appropriate for us, the Jewish nation. We know that there's a Yerushalmi where it mentions seven examples of things that are opposites. And it mentions the Jews versus the other nations. Eretz Yisrael, which versus the other countries. Shabbos, which versus the weekday. Light, which versus darkness. So there's a very specific, strong connection between Am Yisrael, the Jewish nation, and Eretz Yisrael. And even if we're living outside of Eretz Yisrael, when we pray towards Eretz Yisrael. We know we want our tefillos to connect Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Nosson Zal is telling us when we eat, we want our food to be plugged into Eretz Yisrael, even if it wasn't actually grown in Eretz Yisrael, but we want that connection. Avol shefa v'achila shel chutz l'aretz einoi kedai lanu. Whereas the sustenance and the food of chutz l'aretz doesn't really rate to be appropriate for a Jew. Ki chutz l'aretz hu avir hatomei. Because the Gemara tells us that outside of Eretz Yisrael, the air is impure, it's tamei. Vehitachas memsheles hasitrachra. And all other countries are under the rule of the sitrachra, the other side. Ve'enoi roi hashbosol Yisrael. And therefore, the shefa of chutz l'aretz isn't fitting for a Jew. Alkein Anutzrichin Lesakin. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is writing this. Rav Nosson Zal lived in Chutz Loretz. He lived in the Ukraine. Alkein Anutzrichin Lesakin Kol Achilasenu Shtiasenu Sheyia Bebchina Shefa Shleretz Yisrael. Therefore, we must make a special effort to improve our eating and drinking, that it should be of the level of quality of the Shefa of Eretz Yisrael. Ke'ilu yoitze me'eretz Yisrael, as if it's produce of Eretz Yisrael. V'ze nase al yidei habrocha shanu mevorchem al kol dovar. And the way that we make that happen is by reciting the bracha on anything that we eat or drink. U'kishanu mevorchem, and when we recite a bracha, u'moidem oiso yisborach shebrom, and we praise Hashem, and we acknowledge that Hashem created this food. By doing that, we generate a form of Eretz Yisrael wherever we are, in whatever country we're in. Ki ikar Eretz Yisrael nase al yidei koyach masov higid liamoy loses lahem nachlas goyim. Because we know, Rashi points out, the first Rashi in Chumash, in Bereshis, points out, Rashi quotes a Medrash which says, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, why does the Torah begin by telling us that Hashem created heaven and earth? This is a book of laws, mitzvahs. It should begin with mitzvahs. And the Medrash says, because Hashem wanted to proclaim that I am the one who created everything, and I am therefore the one that owns everything, and therefore the land of Eretz Yisrael, I own it, and I have the right to allow other nations to live in it as long as I choose. And when I decide that I want them out and I want to give it to my nation, to my people, the Jewish nation, I can do it. I have the right to do that. Koyach mas of higid liamoy. Hashem has informed his nation, the Jewish nation, of that he's the one who created everything. Losei slohem nachlas goyim. Because this is what will give us the rights to Eretz Yisrael. If anyone else can come and say, we were here first, we can say that doesn't matter. That doesn't decide who it belongs to. It belongs to Hashem. He's the one who created it. It's his. You are here because he allowed you to be there. And the moment he chooses not to allow you to be there any longer, he can give it to its true rightful owners, which are the Jewish people. So we see the holiness of Eretz Yisrael and the appropriateness of Eretz Yisrael for the Jewish nation is based on a realization that Hashem created everything and Hashem owns everything. As Rabbeinu Zal applies this concept in chapter 44 in Likutei Moharan, when he speaks about clapping one's hands during davening, that by doing that, a person generates an atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael wherever they are. Dahainu, Masham Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbeinu Zal there quotes the Medrash that says, Loma posach ha-Torah be-Bereishis. Why does the Torah begin with Bereishis? Elamishum koyach ma'asov. To emphasize that the world is the product of Hashem's hands, Hashem's creations. The word koyach is 28, which corresponds to the 28 parts of the fingers. Each finger has three parts to it, except for the thumb that has two. So there are 14 parts in each hand. 2 times 14 is 28, corresponding to the 28 letters of the first pasuk in Bereishis, which is referred to again as Koyach Masov. The Medrash says, Beretzoinoi Neson Olehem, with Hashem's will, he gave Eretz Yisrael to those other nations, Uberetzoinoi Netolomehem Uneson Olonu. And with Hashem's will, he decided to take Eretz Yisrael away from them and to give it to us, the Jewish nation. Nimtza, She'ikr Eretz Yisrael Nase, that the whole essence, the whole significance of Eretz Yisrael comes from the fact that we broadcast this fact that Hashem created the whole world and he's the one who has the right to give it to whomever he wants. Therefore, ukishonu mevarchim, when we make a bracha on any food item, umoidim oiso yizborach, and we bless Hashem, we acknowledge Hashem regarding that food. Al eze pri shebora, regarding any fruit that Hashem created it. Azai ono megalin kedusha Eretz Yisrael, gam ba'oisoi hamokoim shegodel pri. By doing that, by making this declaration that Hashem created this fruit, we're revealing the holiness of Eretz Yisrael wherever that fruit is, wherever that fruit comes from. Me'achar shono megalin umoidim shehu yisporach bora hakoil. By the fact that we're revealing and announcing the fact that Hashem created everything. Shemizeh nase ikar kedushas Eretz Yisrael kanal. Because that's what really generated the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. That's what makes Eretz Yisrael relevant to us, to the Jewish nation, by realizing that Hashem created everything, and he owns everything, and he's the one who gave us Eretz Yisrael. So when we say that Hashem created this fruit, we're connecting to that concept of Eretz Yisrael, what makes Eretz Yisrael associated with the Jewish nation. And this is what the Gemara says in Brachos. The Gemara says there are two psukim that seem to contradict each other. One pasuk says, Lahashem ho'oretz umaloya. The world and everything in it belongs to Hashem. Uchsiv, there's another pasuk that says, V'ho'oretz nosan livnei adam. That Hashem gave the earth, the world, to man. Which is it? And the Gemara explains, Kan koidem bracha, before you make a bracha on a food item, it's not yours. It belongs to Hashem. Azai then, la Hashem ha'oretz simloya. Then the world and everything in it belongs to Hashem. Kan li'achar bracha, whereas after you make a bracha, azai v'ha'oretz nosan levnei adam. That's when Hashem gives it to you. You're allowed to use it. It's yours. Nimtza, we conclude from this. Shela'achar bracha k'si v'ha'oretz nosan. That once you make a bracha, that's when those words in the Torah, v'ha'oretz nosan, Hashem gave the land. That's when those words come to life. V'hainu b'chinas koyach masov los islam nachas goyim. That corresponds beautifully with what we said about Eretz Yisrael. That by realizing that Hashem made everything, Hashem created everything, that's what gives us Eretz Yisrael. That's what gives the Jewish people the rights to Eretz Yisrael. Hainu shalidei habracha anu koinim es ha'olam. By making a bracha on something, we acquire the world. Shehashem yisborach nesano lanu, which Hashem has given us, al yedei habracha shana mevorcha moisekanal. By reciting this bracha, where we bless Hashem, we acknowledge Hashem's ownership of everything. Vizehu mamish b'chinas Eretz Yisrael. And this is exactly the same concept as applies to Eretz Yisrael. Shom Rabbi Senesa, which our rabbi said, what makes Eretz Yisrael ours? When we realize that Hashem created the whole world, everything. Koyach Masov, who brought, he created it. Uberetzoinoi neson Elohem, and it was with his will that he gave it to those other nations. Uberetzoinoi netolomehem uneson alanu, and through his will he took it away from them and gave it to us. V'chein al yidei habracha, and it's a similar concept when we make a bracha on something. Nizgale kol ze gamkein, we're revealing that same message that's revealed in that first pasuk in the Torah. And the Rashi on that pasuk, bibchinas v'ha'oretz nosan livnei hodon, that Hashem gave the world to us, hanema li'achar bracha kanal, whereby that bracha apply, that concept applies after one a person makes a bracha, v'alkein gam kan nase eretz Yisrael, and therefore when we make a bracha on food, even if we're not physically in Eretz Yisrael, we're generating the holiness of Eretz Yisrael where we are. Any questions, please?
Morning, Rav Nosson. Question. We're in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. How does this apply to us?
The answer is, there are people that make a bracha and their head and heart are not in it. They don't realize how significant, what a game changer the bracha is. That the bracha can change the status of food from American food or Canadian food to Eretz Yisrael food, that the bracha can make that huge a difference. So that even for us living in Eretz Yisrael, a person who makes a bracha and says the words out loud, that they can hear it, and they think about what they're saying, that by making this declaration, I'm acknowledging that Hashem created the world, Hashem created this, and it's not mine. And if I were to eat it without making the bracha and without thinking about what the bracha is all about, I'm stealing. Just like somebody would walk into my house and take out an item from my house, take a couch out of my house, take a chair out of my house. I'd be screaming, that's not yours, that's mine. Hashem is screaming that the whole world belongs to me. Hashem Arzmoy, you have no right to anything. There's no mine. Until and unless you acknowledge and recognize and announce and declare that it's Hashem's world. That a person who says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. And when a person does that, it's not just a game changer, it's a life changer. But when we remind ourselves throughout the day that it's not my world, it's Hashem's world. Hashem created it, and everything in it belongs to Him. And anything that I have is a gift. It's a gift from Hashem that Hashem is willing to give me, so long as I recognize that it's His and He's giving it to me. That changes a person's life completely in terms of the worries and the pain and the struggles that a person has. If I'm reminded that there's a Hashem who created everything and is in charge of everything and owns and is supervising everything, then everything will be okay. Everything will be okay, and it is okay. As long as I understand what Hashem wants from me, what He expects from me, and I try my best to do that.
Thank you.
We'll hold it over here for now. In the next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into a little more detail in the wording of those two psukim. LaHashem ha'oretz umloyoy, v'ha'oretz nosan levnei odom, to make it even clearer exactly what's going on here. Again, we mentioned that it's very appropriate that we're learning this now, this week. On Wednesday, we're going to be celebrating Tu Bishvat, which is the holiday of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah Leilonos. And there's tremendous, every day is important and holy. The fact that this is a Rosh Hashanah, it's very, very special. And every day now, the Likutei Halachos that we're going to be learning is going to bring us closer to realizing how significant this really is, Mitzvah Shem. Wishing everybody a wonderful week. Yeshuas and Besuras Tovas, Mr. Shem.
Thank you. Shabbat Tov.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.